people. Lord, you're not like human. You never fail. You're never late. You're always on time. You are always good. You're always kind. You restore our souls. Lord, this morning, once again, we confess our dependency on you. We confess our dependency on the Holy Spirit. Lord, we do not count on past experience, our knowledge. As we come together, we honor you. Thank you for being here, Lord. Lord Jesus, thank you for sitting in our midst. We give you the highest place. We place you on the highest place again today. So as we open your word today, Father, teach us, Holy Spirit. Teach us, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. And you saints say, amen. Amen. So yeah, I hope everybody had a great Thanksgiving. You know, I hope we're so blessed, right? Not only because of spiritual gifts, but also because of a lot of great material things God has blessed us with. You know, we have work. Amen. We have work. We have plenty of food. What a blessing. You know? What a blessing. I give you a homework. I have a homework for you this week. Upon anything else you're reading, time you're spending with the Lord in your devotion, I'm going to encourage you to read the book of 1 Peter. We'll get to 2 Peter. But my goodness, I've been reading, that's all I read this week, 1 Peter. I read it almost every day. It's been a while since I read the book of 1 Peter. I don't even know why I end up reading 1 Peter. So of course, last week I felt like, okay, I need to pause on my on our subject, understanding the wrath of God, the fear of the Lord. So I was praying, I'm like, God, what am I supposed to talk about Sunday? You know, sometimes it comes easy, but other times it doesn't come easy. I have to be like, Lord, what is it? What is it? Until maybe like Friday night or Saturday, then I'd have something. So all week I really have nothing. So I'm like, you know what? I'm not worrying about it. But I'm just doing my devotion in the book of 1 Peter. And then, of course, the Lord gave me this. The book of 1 Peter is so rich. It is so rich. As you open this book this week in your devotion, quiet time, in your prayer time, my prayer is that the Holy Spirit would reveal so much to you, encourage you in ways we can't do it, but the Holy Spirit can do it. Now, if you remember Peter, according to church history, they portrayed Peter as one of kind of the bold ones among the disciples, right? When you read the gospel, you could realize Peter, he was very outspoken, right? And one thing that really marked Peter's life, on the night before Jesus was betrayed, he sat around the table telling his disciples, guys, listen to this. Tonight, one of you gonna sell me out, gonna betray me. Can you imagine? Oh God, give us the heart of Jesus. I mean, how would we live with Judas for 3 years knowing that Judas would choose to betray Jesus? Huh? How would I live with a Judas in my home? Oh Lord, help us. Jesus, help us. Holy Spirit, help us. You see, now, before the Holy Spirit came, Peter thought he could do it on his own. How many times we think we can do it on our own? Man, let me remind you again today. Jesus said, I must go, so the Paracletos, the Holy Spirit. Now, if you need to understand grace, you need to really spend time in 1 Peter. Because I don't think any of us, maybe, but I don't think any of us found ourselves in the position Peter found himself. Peter at the table asking the Lord, it's like, Lord, who is it? And of course, Jesus gave him a hand. He's like, whoever I you know, dip the bread and I give to you, of course. And then he give it to Judas. And then he told Judas, go do what you're supposed to do. And a lot of them thought, Jesus was saying, go give some money to the poor. Now go back to the gospel again, that story. Peter, he felt so empowered, convicted at the time, saying, Lord, he knew what he was saying. By might. He said, Lord, if anyone here left, leave you. But when it comes to me, listen, at that time, Peter was serious. He was sincere. But he did not have the Holy Spirit conviction. You see, hope in the midst of suffering. Can we remain hopeful when life gets tough? You know, we're talking about hope. Today, one of the main subjects in the book of 1 Peter is living hope. Peter talks about living hope. And I'm picturing this whole story with Peter. That whole night, Peter is following Jesus. They arrested Jesus. So he's, remember, everybody else fled for their lives. But Peter was the only one, one of the only one who followed Jesus close. Because he didn't really want to, I mean, even after he's like, man, he cut the, pull his sword, cut the one of the soldiers' ears. You remember the story? Go read it. He followed Jesus very close until one person says, if I remember right, I saw you in the temple the other day. I think you were with him. Now all of a sudden, Peter's life is on the line. Would you remain hopeful when your life is on the line? Don't answer, would you die for Jesus? Think about it. Today, this week, I thought about many of the widowers in our midst. We have no words. We can't tell you. I mean, there's no words to encourage you after being married for 50 years and all of a sudden your mate. You know, I mean, I can't live without Kendra. Kendra's gone for one day, I'm lost. And we haven't been married for 50 years. But I realize the more time we spent together, the more inseparable, you got it. Inseparable we are. And all of a sudden being married for 40 years, 50 years, 30 some years, and all of a sudden your husband, your wife is gone. But you know some people, they get stuck right there. Can we move forward when life gets tough? In this world where there's no hope, can we spread hope? Peter talks about living hope. The contrary of living hope is dead hope. Just like the Bible talks about in James, dead faith. A faith that does not produce good action. So if you say you believe in Christ, and your behavior is denying your belief, think again. Because your faith must match your action. Your action must match your faith. James chapter 2, you go read it. Alright, I'm giving you a lot of homework. You go read it. What it says. Show me, you can't say you have faith and for your action to deny it. The power of hope. The living hope. Now, put the next slide up there. It's the at glance of the first the book of 1 Peter. You can take a screenshot of this as you read 1 Peter. You're going to see those things. But as you look at the screen, let me go back to that story in the garden. The servant says, you look like someone who followed Jesus. What did Peter say? Peter's like, me? Come on, look again. I don't look like him. Me? It hasn't been 24 hours. Peter was like, Lord! I'm telling you, Peter was serious. I don't know what you're talking about. Everybody else, and I could picture Peter. Peter was very radical. Lord, if everybody leaves you, me? Even if it comes to dying, I will. He was serious. Until the rubber hits the road. What will you do with hope when the rubber hits your road? When all of a sudden you lose your job. All of a sudden you didn't think about cancer. You had no plan to live life without your husband, your wife, your kids, troubles. What would you do? Would you give in to dead hope, or will you hold steadfast to living hope? I believe you and I, we have a choice. Especially today, we have the candle of hope. You know, it's symbolic. Hope. Are you hopeful or are you hopeless? A lot of people want to be hopeful, but they live in hopelessness. Of course, the author is Peter. We're not going to go deep in that. The audience was the churches in northwestern Asia Minor, modern-day Turkey. The year, I mean, they said some manuscript says between 60 and 65, 62 and 65. It's a letter, all right? What are some of the themes of the book of 1 Peter? God's nature, salvation, the church, the Christian life, and suffering. But I would add hope in suffering. Hope in suffering. You know, I can't remember who I was telling this the other day. Persecution is not a bad thing. I'll let you sink on this for a little bit. Meditate on that. Persecution? Thank God we don't live in persecution. We're not being persecuted. Okay? You're not being persecuted. If you think serving God is hard, I told you last week. If you serve God when it's convenient for you, you know, it's like, I'm going to go to prayer meeting when my football team is not playing. I'm not talking about anybody, okay? This is just an example I give. If you're part of this, so be it. But how many times we have excuses? Well, I'm not going to Bible study because I had a hard day at work. And you think, it's not convenient. It's too hard. It's just too hard. Now, I'm not saying, once again, let me balance what I said. I'm not saying if you choose to not go to Bible study because of your team's losing on the screen is a bad thing. Or your team is winning. It's not, you know, there's a balance, okay? I'm not saying there's no guilt here. Now, if you're being convicted by the Holy Spirit, that's between you and Him. That's between you and Him. Okay? But it's not my place to guilt trip you. If you want to sit on the couch, watch TV, while you should be in Bible study, that's between you and the Holy Spirit. If you're being led by the Holy Spirit, you will know. You must go. Hope in suffering. Of course, the outline, the letter opening in chapter 1, of course, identify God's chosen people and foreigners. I like that. From the book of 1 Peter, you will realize that you are foreigners. 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 Étrangers. Vous êtes étrangers sur la terre. We're just passing through. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. Remember, you're just passing through. So do not get hung up onto all this whatever's going around you. You're just passing through. And you know, if you think about it, 95 years is very short. Because yesterday you were just a brand new baby, and here you are, 48. And you're like, what happened? That's how short life is. And then I love, there's a verse in 1 Peter where it says, as newborn babies, crave for real milk. You guys remember that baby? It doesn't matter what the time is, when the baby wants milk, that baby will cry. And the baby, there's a cry, there's a level of crying the baby get to. That piercing cry, you better give that baby the milk. Oh Lord, create in our hearts this deep, deep thirst of that baby to cry out for what? The pure milk. The pure milk. Because that's what will sustain you. You know, in the book of 1 Peter, you will understand as you read it, God is calling us to live honorably as foreigners on this earth. So I live in America as a Haitian born with a kingdom mindset because I'm a citizen of heaven. I've been born again. I've been delivered. Living in Christian solidarity as foreigners. Chapter 7, chapter 4. Suffering together as foreigners. So what about the book of 1 Peter? The readers of the Apostle Peter's at that time were confused and discouraged. Why? Because they were being persecuted. And nowadays, we know a lot of Christians are being persecuted for their faith. Churches are being burnt. We have some pastors in our network from Sri Lanka. Their church got burnt multiple times. You know, that's why this morning when we got here, nothing was working. Like our tech stuff, nothing was working. You know, I told our team, you know what? We're not going to fuss. We're not going to worry about it. Who cares? Our focus is not that. We don't have to be online. We don't have to be live stream church. If it's not working, guess what? I trust in God. I praise Jesus. It's not working. Hallelujah. Why am I going to fuss? Believe me, I used to stress about it. I've been delivered. Yeah. It didn't work. Sound doesn't work. I'm like, you know what? Let's just... Jesus. Hope when nothing works. And at that time, the readers of 1 Peter, they were going through it. So Peter, his encouragement, his exhortation towards them was what? Stay strong. Don't give in. Repeatedly, he reminds them of Christ's example. And you're going to find it. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. I mean, there's so many key verses in 1 Peter. But I love 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, where it says, Christ has left us as an example to follow step by step. So let me break it to you again. If you want somebody to follow, follow Jesus. Because when you follow him, you will never fail. Now, when you keep your eyes on people, like Paul said to Timothy, you follow my example. Like me as your pastor, you follow my example. I ask God for his grace. You follow my example in the way I treat my wife, in the way I interact with my kids, in the way I do my business, in the way I do life. You follow my example. But if some reason your leader all of a sudden stopped following Christ, please. You know, there are people, they give up their faith. They shipwreck their faith because of some worship leader who denounced God. God gave you no one else as an example but Christ. Jesus. Jesus is our example. And I love, the verse 21, it says, you should, verse 22, it says, but Jesus, there is no bad words came out of it, so he never sinned. I think that's what it says. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found found in his mouth. Wow. Anybody else wants to follow Jesus but me here? I want to follow Jesus, right? I want to be like Jesus. So Peter was telling the people, man, you better watch what you, how you live your life. I mean, Christ came, he suffered. Christ came, he chose 12 guys, right? And when you study the life of those guys, they were like people like us, nobodies. You know, thank God, he chose people like Peter, Andrew, you know, Thomas, those guys, Judas. He chose them, Matthew, tax collector, everybody. If you study the life of Matthew, people hated Matthew because they saw Matthew as a traitor at that time. Because Matthew was working for the Romans. Guess who Jesus chose to follow him? Matthew. And then all of a sudden, he spent 3 years giving everything to those 12 guys. And then on the night he needs them, none of them had the courage. But something for you to understand. Later on, and as you study church history, Peter was crucified, killed by Nero. Of course, they wanted to crucify Peter on the cross. That's how bold after Peter got filled with the Holy Spirit. The first message in the book of Acts was preached by Peter. At that time, 3,000 souls, over 3,000 souls give their life to the Lord. When they were going to crucify Peter on the cross, Peter says, come on, guys. I'm not worthy enough to be crucified on the cross in the same position as my Lord. I don't mind it. Yeah, I'm ready to meet my Lord, but make sure you put the cross upside down. So Peter did die on a cross. So in the book of 1 Peter, as you read it, you will realize that one of the primary messages that I'm touching today is living hope. And Peter also talked about to keep your trust in God. That's why we prayed, I trust in God, my Savior. So when life gets tough, whatever the situation is, I pray this all the time. Lord, I trust you. I trust. You know what trust is? Is relying. You remember those people, you guys remember those people I don't know what you call those, you know, when you go to circus, they walk on lines, on strings. My goodness, how do they do that? A lot of practice, right? It starts with that. Right? A lot of practice. I mean, you see those people, they're walking from, actually, I remember a couple years ago, the one guy, he walked across the Niagara Fall. What a talent. Not only that, what a trust. I mean, I have seen some of them push or holding things or push a wheelbarrow. So now, just for the sake of illustration, picture in your mind one of those people walking on a rope. Is that what you call it? A rope? Tight rope? And he's pushing a wheelbarrow. Right? He's on there. The tie of the wheelbarrow is on the rope. So he's walking. And most of us were like, I hope. What do we say? I hope he doesn't fall, right? We hope he makes it from point A to point B, right? Some of us, we know he can make it, right? Some of us, we believe, we'd like, oh, this, he'll make it, even if it's, and then eventually he make it to the other side. Yeah, everybody's happy. So he's like, okay, I'm going to do it again. Now, on the second time, the level of anxiety from us watching him, you think raising or Lord? Lord. Why? Because we've seen him do it. And we know he's been practicing at home. Wheelbarrow. Second time, boop, he made it. Yeah, man, this guy is awesome. So he's like, okay. In this audience, I need one volunteer. One volunteer. Anybody? Okay, Amy would volunteer. All right. No. You're good, Amy. No, you're good. You're good. Yeah. You guys in your mind with me? I'm giving you a picture right now. So here comes this guy, he called one of you, Amy showed up. He's like, well, before he choose somebody, he says, I need somebody to be sitting in this wheelbarrow. I need somebody in this wheelbarrow as I walk. I'm going to show you how good I am. I'm going to put somebody in this wheelbarrow. Which one of us would want to try? Amy? See, we all volunteering Amy now. Now Amy going to think twice now. Right, Amy? That's right. Yeah. Amy, okay, Amy take back what he said. She's not sure anymore. Guess what? Why would I do that? Huh? No way. I love my life. My brothers and sisters, that's what faith is. Faith is getting into that wheelbarrow. What if I perish? I go back to the Old Testament, the story of those guys who disobey not to bow down before the idol of the king and said, you know what, if I must perish, I'd rather perish trusting in God. I'd rather perish in hope than perish hopelessness. And you see that happen in church all the time. How many people give up following Christ because of hopelessness? I believe we live in a season where we can be agent of hope. We can be agent of peace. But today we're talking about hope. Living hope. As you read the book of 1 Peter, or maybe as we continue, maybe some of you, if you don't, in your home groups, if you don't really have a subject, I would encourage you, pick the book of 1 Peter. It's so much, it's so rich. Living hope. Now, if we go back to the story in the garden, Peter denied Jesus 3 times, right? I don't know him. First time, Peter's like, come on, man, it's not me. A second time, then Peter's like, come on, man. Man, you don't have your glasses on. Check again. On the third time, because the servant's like, now I'm sure you've been. And Peter is looking at the suffering Christ is going through. The beating, the spitting on him. Peter's seeing. And Peter is realizing, do I want to be in that wheelbarrow? At the moment, he's like, man, I ask. Well, what did he say? You remember the wording in the verse? But Peter's like, I ask anything bad happen to me. Don't remember the wording. I do not know this man. What would it cost you? I believe today Peter, in the book of Peter, he's calling us to be bold, to overcome our fear, and to remain faithful in Christ. For the grace that restored Peter after he fell is available for you and I today. Every believer, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we all have what it takes to live in living hope. Remember, the contrary of living hope is dead hope. Is your hope alive? Now let's just read a portion of 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 to 9. Living hope is a hope that remains alive. If your hope is alive, it's living hope. But if your hope, whatever, man, I pray, God, have mercy, because I know some people who has given in hopelessness. You know, I was talking about, before we read those verses, I was talking about people who lost their loved one or lost their children. I mean, there's nothing like I've seen it, I've heard it, when a parent has to bury their children. It's, we have no words. But do we mourn like unbelievers? No. So if your loved one is gone to heaven, and you know for sure they are in heaven, I mean, if you're not sure, pray that at their last breath, they repent. Because, you know, you never know. We can't judge because you never know. You might be surprised when we go to heaven. But at least, don't give in to hopelessness. Don't stop living because your loved one is gone. I've seen it. I don't know what else to tell people. They stop living. They cut everybody off. I tell you, the spirit of depression, anxiety, it's strong. Demons attached to it. Some of you have been there. You see, when the enemy wants to kill, steal, and destroy you, the first thing he does, he isolates you. And he makes you think, you don't need anybody. I don't need anybody. I don't want to talk to anybody. I'm not going to church. I'm not going to cell group. I'm removing myself. You blocked everybody. And then, of course, our philosophy, we will fight for a relationship. We're going to keep talking to you, calling you, until you say, hey, leave me alone. Then we're like, oh, Lord, have mercy. But listen to me today. Be agent of peace, of hope, as we talk about hope today. Be agent of hope. This is what it says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to His great mercy. He has caused us to be born again to a living hope. You see, right there, before we were born again, we had dead hope. We were hopeless. But now we have living hope. How? Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. To an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading. I love these words. They're strong. Kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice. In what? How do you rejoice? You rejoice in that hope, knowing one day, you know, your salvation will be complete when we see Jesus face to face. Amen? So this little trouble we're going through, please, as a matter of fact, you better rejoice. James said, when you fall into all kinds of trials, not because of wrongdoing, but because of choosing Christ. And you know, at the time Peter wrote the book of 1 Peter, the believers, they live in a very hostile society. The society was very hostile towards Christ compared to our society right now. You know, I pray that you're bold enough to tell the world that you're in love with Jesus. You know, when I go places, I'm a Christian. I follow Jesus. I'm a kingdom citizen. You know, online, your social media, or your group of friends, do you call them up? I thank God all my friends, they're kind of like-minded, but I have people who are not believers that I interact with. If they start cursing using the name of my Lord in vain, right away I told them, you cannot use in my presence the Lord of my God in vain. But how many times we shrink? We're like, well, I don't want people to hate me. Really? You want to befriend everybody? You want to be the friend of everybody? Think twice who you're following. Jesus said in John, in this world, you will have trouble. The moment you choose to truly identify with the cross, you know what the world's going to do to you? Reject you. If you want, that's why I tell you all the time, I'm not here to please anybody. I mean, if God opens your eyes to see what He's doing here, and you kind of appreciate me, glory to God, encourage me, glory to God. But man, I'm going to remain truthful to the Word of God and put it in your face. Because this is the only thing that will save you. Turn from your sin. Stop living in hopelessness. We are people of hope. If you say you're following Jesus, you cannot be hopeless. If you battle with the spirit of depression, talk. We can help you. We can help you. If you're discouraged, don't give in to the spirit of discouragement. We will help you. The enemy wants you to think you're on an island. You're not. You can't do life by yourself. You cannot do life by yourself. So in this, rejoice. That's why, you know, when you live in dwelling in the Holy Spirit, joy will be evident in your life. Now, that doesn't mean you might always be, you know, like gay, you know, like in, you know, like, no. You might have joy and you feel like, what's the word I'm looking for? You're not in gete. In what's that word? Yeah. You got it. Sometimes I can't express what I want to say. But you know what I'm saying is you might have the joy of the Lord, but it's so subtle. You have peace, you have joy. Because it's not something money or something can give you. That's why when you have that hope that surpasses all understanding, all situation, you're in the middle of the storm, and yet you are so hopeful. I mean, you're in the middle of a turmoil, and you are encouraging other people with tears in your eyes. You're crying. You are crying. You are mourning. But yet, because you are so hopeful, you can encourage others and allow others to encourage you. Because remember, when you go through tough time, suffering and stuff, and you're shutting people out, you're drying yourself up. Because God put us together so we can encourage each other. So once again, verse 6, in this, in what? Verse 3, verse 4, and verse 5, those promises, you rejoice. Though now, for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials. Now, for you to understand, in the book, the audience, or the Christians in around that time, they were going through many, many, many trials. Some of them were dying for their faith. And Peter's, he's coming around, he's like, man, you know what? This is just a little while. You're going through various trials. But guess what happened? Verse 7, so that tests the genuineness of your faith. So if your faith, you following Christ, has never been tested, check again which Christ are you following. You say, I follow Jesus. And then in school, you're dancing with everybody else. You go into every wild parties, you know, every Halloween parties. Your friends, your unbelieving friends, they feel comfortable to invite you, you know. And then you can never invite them in church. You can never invite them in a fellowship. Think twice, which Christ are you following? And another subject you find in the book of 1 Peter is we've been called. Advent is revealed. You know the word Advent, when you study it, says Christ is, it's the revelation of Christ. And as you live a life for Christ, well, his life will influence yours, and your life will influence every sphere you touch. You know, you remember a couple months ago we were talking about which area of your life is Jesus Lord or not Lord over. I mean, how many times in the church, people, Jesus is only here at church. But then when they work at McDonald's, you never know they're Christians. First of all, they curse like everybody else. You know, people who goes to church, they curse like everybody else. And then they gossip like if there's like this gossip going at work. Guess who is in the middle of it? They are. It's impossible. You can't be salt. I mean, darkness and light at the same time. So your faith must be tested. More precious than gold that perishes through its testing by fire. May be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Christ Jesus. Though you have not seen him, you loved him. Though you do not know him, now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy. Joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory. Verse 9, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your soul. I said, these believers in the book of 1 Peter, they live in a very inner Christ society. Just like today we could say, we live in a society where people are anti-Christ. You know, for many years we used to think, well, the inner Christ is going to show up. I tell you, the inner Christ, yes, will show up, but the inner Christ is here. You know what anti-Christ is? Remind you again, I said it here before a couple years ago. Anything that is anti-Christ in your life is against Jesus. Anything that is out there to take you out of Christ, to take Christ out of you, is anti-Christ. I tell you, it could be your husband, it could be your job, it could be yourself. You know, in the book of 1 Peter, a couple times he said, do not give in to the fleshly desires. And I remember, I'm like, man, a lot of times people need to think about the desire of the flesh. They think about sexual desires. Let me tell you this. Do you know selfishness is a fleshly thing? You might not be fighting with pornography. Maybe the Lord delivered you from, you know, going online and go crazy, do crazy things. But man, you're so selfish. Or right now, you're going through whatever you're going through. You don't know how to manage life relationship. You know, Christians, God called us to be managers of life relationship. You must have peace with everybody. As long as it depends on you, you must have peace. Now, if it means you take the blame and ask for forgiveness, you do it and then you move forward. Now, I'm not telling you, though, there's nowhere in the word it says for you to become a front doormat. Mm-mm. You can't be abused in any relationship, friendship, marriage, family, anyone who is abusive, verbally, physically, emotionally, and you notice, get as far as possible away from them until they can help themselves. What do they say? Hurt people. So here, let's think about those two questions. I tell you, the book of 1 Peter is so good. How can we have the power of our souls in times of great stress and anxiety? Not just to endure the evil days, but to be joyful and to be filled, to fill our lives with the fruit of righteousness. How is that possible? How can I have the power? How is it possible for me to have the ability? As I go through stress, anxiety, tough time, how do I have the power to be joyful? To be filled with the fruits of righteousness. Let's think about the fruits of righteousness. For example, patience. You know, when you are anxious, you know, the Bible says do not be anxious about anything, right? What would be the tool to fight against being anxious? It would be faith, right? Faith. So then, for me to stop worry, I need to start believing. And then cast that worry to the Lord. And you know what I do? I say, okay, Lord, I get in the wheelbarrow. That's it. I say, okay, Lord, I just trust you. And then you can tie this with Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. It says, it is impossible to please God without faith. So if you want to please God, you have to totally rely, be like, okay, Lord, Let me get on that wheelbarrow. Take me as if the wheelbarrow tip, guess what? So be it. If we make it to the other side, hallelujah. But if while I'm in the wheelbarrow, it's like it's shaking, guess what, Lord? And this is where we can pray like the father of that little boy in the gospel. It says, well, Lord, help my unbelief. You know, sometimes we complicated it. Whatever the situation is in, you feel like, man, you know what, I can't believe. Lord, I really can't believe right now. Jesus, Holy Spirit, help my unbelief. Lord, I cast my unbelief at your feet. I believe you. I trust you. I trust in God, my Savior. You know, faith comes by hearing. And what do you hear? When you keep hearing the word of the Lord, you know what happened? It bubbles faith. That's why if you don't have the power to read it, at least listen to the word. Here's another question. How can when your life, our life is in jeopardy, our jobs, maybe our marriage or our health or your respect in the community, how can you rise up with joy and bless those who abuse you? I talked about last week, Romans chapter 12. Or is it 12? Romans 9, verse 12, something like that. It says, bless those who persecuted you. Bless those who talk bad about you. Instead of justifying yourself, but you pray for them. You pray a blessing. But what's my normal reaction? My normal reaction is to retaliate. Justify. Call for vengeance. And once again, this is where the Holy Spirit kicks in. Let me finish with this. Trying to answer this question, these questions. We're talking about living hope, right? What is it? What is living hope? How does living hope arise in our hearts? How does it empower us to love? Well, living hope, when you study the Old Testament, especially in the book of 1 Peter, living hope is totally different than what we think hope is. For example, we could take this example. It's like, well, I hope that the Eagles wins today. I hope that the Eagles didn't really do poorly like they've been doing this week. I'm no Eagles fan, okay, guys? Don't worry. I don't have a team. You see what I'm saying? It's an example. I hope the Chiefs can really make it to the playoff. Right, Robert? We hope. So, I don't have a team. Okay, well, see? So, alright? I hope, man, I really hope, I'm just giving you examples. I really hope that what's your team, bro? The Dolphins. I hope, man, the Commanders, I really hope they would start playing. You know? You see, now that's not the hope we're talking about here. That's not the hope the Bible is talking about. Because really, we don't know what's going to happen today in the game of football. Your team might win. Your team might lose. Now you hope they win, right? You see, now, such hope is kind of it's a word we use, but it's not the hope the Bible talks about. You see, my hope in Christ is not like that. So my hope in Jesus, I know. It's not like, oh, I hope that I overcome. I am an overcomer. I hope you get it. It's not like, well, I hope I experience victory. You don't get it. You live your life in victory. Oh, I hope you get, well, see, once again, I hope you get it. I pray you get it. Listen, this week I have a really better appreciation for the word hope. Because when we talk about hope from a kingdom perspective, from a biblical perspective, you realize I'm speaking in faith. I hope you get well, or you be well. Are you with me? It's not like, I'm hoping maybe you will get well. I'm speaking from faith. So Peter said it in chapter 1, verse 13. It says, hopefully in the grace that is coming to you at the revelation of Christ. So his desire in this verse is not uncertain. It's like, when Christ comes, we will totally be like him. And you live your life every day like this. So when the flesh comes to you, when you realize, I am weak, but he's strong. What do we say in Philippians? Paul said it, right? I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. You know, let me finish with this. James says, if your faith is alive, if you have living faith will match your life. So there's going to be fruit. If your hope is alive, you know what's going to happen? There's going to be fruit along your hope. I don't know where you're at. I'm going to ask Alyssa to come to go play for me. I want us to play that song again. I trust in God. I don't know where are you in hope when it comes to, you know, the worries of life, the situation of life. Or maybe you know somebody that needs hope. And I invite you to just close your eyes. You know, in a couple weeks, it's been a couple weeks since I asked my prayer team to be ready. But if you need prayer, or you know somebody that needs hope, you know, just let's come to the Lord. As we take a moment to pray this, is your hope alive? Is your hope dead? But there's a great invitation in the book of 1 Peter. As you read it this week, take notes. See what the Lord is showing you. But let's just open up our hearts for a greater measure of hope. As we encounter this world that is hopeless. Thank you, Jesus.